Let's get ready tonight for our New Year's Eve study. And I'm sorry that not many people thought it was important enough to be here. I hope they have a racking new time, wonderful time, wherever they are. But let's begin with a word of prayer. And even though there's few of us, we will engage in song and hymn. You sing alone in the shower, so you can sing with a few other people in public. So let's begin with a word of prayer as we close out 2018 and introduce 2019. Let us pray. Now, Heavenly Father, we keep time as humans do, year by year, decade, century. And Heavenly Father, we just pray now as we close out 2018, we're just so thankful that you've used this assembly, here in this assembly, the internet, our young people, at camp, two different homes, missionary outreach. And Father, we just pray that it'll be according to your plan to use us in 2019 to continue spreading the word, the truth of your word with our young people, going to a new camp. Give us wisdom. Give those who are overseeing that, give them wisdom. And then, Heavenly Father, with our missionaries, with our internet outreach, and various activities right here in our own assembly, Father, just pray you'll continue using Spring Valley Bible Church to bring honor and glory to our Savior. Father, we pray that all that we do tonight will be glorifying to you, glorifying to your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, what we're going to do tonight is we're going to be looking at 8 challenges for 2019 in the Word of God. And with that in mind, come right on in, find a seat if you can. Ben, I brought Sunday. I didn't bring it tonight. I got a letter from the senator, and thanking me for recommending you and all. I'll let you read it when I remember to bring it. So, with the idea of getting ready to look into the Word of God, let's open our hymnals to 142. And remember, there's not many of us here, but like I said, you sing in the shower by yourself, so sing a little bit in public. And let's open to 142, and let's sing about the Word of God, Wonderful Words of Life. Yeah, come on up. Come on, Ed, let's do that. All right, here we go.
Oh,
Oh, we do? Alright, what else are we going to sing?
One more verse.
What's the question, Brian?
Whatever we want to sing. It's called He Leadeth Me. I believe it's 218.
Oh,
alright, 218, He Leadeth Me.
He leadeth me, O blessed thought, O words with heavenly comfort brought. Whate'er I do, where'er I be, still 'tis God's hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Sometimes mid seems the deepest gloom, sometimes where Eden's bowers bloom. Thy waters still untroubled sea, still 'tis His hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. Lord, I would clasp my hand in mine, not ever murmur nor repine. Content whatever my lot I see, since 'tis Thy hand that leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me. And when my task on earth is done, when by Thy grace the victory's won, in death's cold wave I will not flee, since God through Jordan leadeth me. He leadeth me, He leadeth me, by His own hand He leadeth me. His faithful follower I would be, for by His hand He leadeth me.
Eight challenges for 2019. In my notes I have eight. Good grief. Couldn't you just come up with two or three? Eight? That's a lot to remember for all of 2019. Well, let me just say this. Seven of them are in one simple, beautiful passage. I will share with you, since we have two men that I think could fill any pulpit anywhere, Chris Daigh and Phil McMillan, I had planned on another passage. And I got up this morning about 6:30 and went to my desk, and it just didn't click. And I just closed it down and went into prayer. And I said, okay, you don't want this one. What are we going to do? And I won't go through all, but found this great passage and just exploded. I mean, I was so excited. I wanted to stand up and start preaching it right then. So we're going to look at eight challenges, seven in one passage, and we'll close in our second session with one and another. Now, as we close another year of our earthly lives, we're going to take our challenge from something written some 2,000 years ago. You see, people, God never changes. History changes, but God never changes. Same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. And I'll tell you what, as you get older, you give thanks for that. That's very peaceful. He doesn't change. I do, but He doesn't. And what God expects is always the same, as we're going to see. So if we teach this, what we're going to look at to our children, these 8 challenges, will not go wrong. We're assured they will not go wrong. Wrong against God's plan, God's will, if we do this right. Now for 7 of our challenges, I'd like you to turn to Psalm 37. Psalm 37. Now, since we just have one night, I didn't want this to extend into a 2-3 week series, just the one night, to note the challenges, I want you to let's read this entire section that we're going to be dealing with, and then we'll come back and go through it slowly. But I want you to look. So let's just start reading in verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Be not envious toward wrongdoers. Now, I'll tell you in a moment, these are not imperatives. These are not part of our challenges. The challenges are going to start in verse 3. For they will wither quickly like the grass and fade like the green herb. Now verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. There's 2 of them. Dwell in the land and cultivate faithfulness. There's 2 more. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, and then a repeating of the one. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. What will He do? He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. And then finally, rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Okay, let's go back now and start our work through this wonderful challenge for 2019. Verse 1. Do not fret because of evildoers. Do not be envious toward wrongdoers. Now, why are these 2 of not in our challenges for 2019? Well, they're not imperatives. It sounds and reads like imperatives, but they're not imperatives. All 7 of our challenges are in the imperative. But fret not and envy not are not in the imperative. They are imperfects. But even in that they are different stems, like fret not, do not become angry. Envy not, do not become jealous of those who prosper in doing evil or criminal acts that are harmful to self and to society. As I was working on this, I couldn't help but think of a movie we just saw, The Mule, with Clint Eastwood. I highly recommend it. It is a superb movie on the family. Now, if you get lost in the mule part of it, you'll lose it. You've got to pay attention. It's about the family. And you can look and see how people that deal in evil and these various criminal acts make a lot of good money. They have 2 or 3 homes, all this type of thing. But let's take a look. Fret not is what we call in the Hebrew, the hiphael imperfect. Of the verb meaning to become angry. The hiphael is a picture. It's a picture word. It's reflexive. By that it means putting yourself in this position to become angry. This is something you choose to do. Angry at evildoers. It's reflexive. In other words, it's what it's saying to us is, this is about you, not about God. You don't mind it from the standpoint of God. You don't mind it even from the standpoint of your country. It's about you. Look what all they have, and I don't have all of that. It's about you. It's reflexive. Not about God or your country, about you. Evildoers, those who practice and even become wealthy by doing things bad against God, against society itself, against the laws. So do not allow yourself to become angry at evildoers. Now, very quickly, nor be envious. This is a PL imperfect, a verb meaning to be jealous. The PL adds the idea of intenseness. Here's the real reason you're angry. Here's the real reason you're angry. They're prospering. They're making good money. And the mule, Glenn Eastwood, who plays a part, it's a true story, based on a man 90 years old. And after he makes his first run, they didn't go through, but they leave the money in the glove compartment. He looked at that money, should have seen his eyes. He went, wow, and all I did was drive. See, that's all I did. And then it was more money and more money, and he got tangled up in it. And that's why you become angry, because you're jealous. Your eyes are on their prosperity, on how they have things, and you don't have them. See? Now, this will be different for all of us. For an example, for a pastor, be very temptable. Do not become angry or envy of prosperity of a lot of oppressors like Joel Osteen, J.D. Jakes, all these type of people that make millions. And it never bothered me, but I'm sure it does some preachers. It may be prosperity in your profession, with your work, or just the fact that they are prospering and they're doing things against the law. Drugs, con artists, prostitutes. A young girl dropped out of high school, doesn't really have a future, sees how much money and the life that some prostitute makes. So she's lured into that. See? Stealing. All these kinds of things. Now David sticks in a little reminder about why not to be angry, why not to be jealous. 4, verse 2. For they will wither quickly, quickly, like the grass, and fade like the green herb. Okay. If you do not have your eyes open on others, then what are you going to do? What they're doing? How they're prospering? What are you going to have your eyes on then? If you go to society and if you don't see how these people are making their money illegally, what are you supposed to have your eyes on? So this begins our challenge for 2019, verse 3. Trust in the Lord. We begin all of these with imperatives. And this one begins it all with faith. We start off 2019 understanding we live by faith, not by sight. It's a cow imperative, and I'll point out that in a moment. Of the Hebrew verb batak, one of the most fundamental words for faith. And right out of the lexicon, this word includes safety and security. There is no security, no safety in doing evil. And he's driving his truck, driving the drugs. He's always aware. Highway patrol, others. See? There's no security or safety in it. But all people, you just got to understand, there is solid inner peace, inner security in just trusting the Lord. You don't have to think about it. It's kind of like, if you don't lie, you don't have to think real hard about what you said last time. See? Just keep telling the truth. Well, that's the way this is involved. You live by faith, you have security and peace. Just trusting the Lord in all that you do. This is quickly followed by the cal imperative of the verb meaning to do. Trust in the Lord. Do something. See, and do good. Now this cal imperative means to do, accomplish, complete, and is accompanied by the Hebrew adjective good. But as we all know, this word must be analyzed according to whom? According to who is something good? This good is always according to God. Not man, not others, but God. What is well-pleasing in His sight? He is the only one we're here to please. If you treat your husband, your wife, as to please the Lord, you'll be doing them what is good for them. Now, they may not be in the plan of God, and they don't see it. But you are pleasing the Lord. There used to be a movement, and I'm so thankful it came and gone. It's come and gone. The promise keepers. And boy, you promise your wife, promise your husband, and keep those promises. I want to make them happy. No, people, we change. Men and women, not just women. We change. The old joke is women change weekly. But the ideal is men change. You try to please them. What pleased them this week won't please them next week. See? So you live to please the Lord in what you do. That's what you have to do. And when they finally get with it, they will see how pleased they are. But we're here to please the Lord in our marriage, work, church, family, every area of our life. Starting this Sunday, we start a new section in Colossians 3, and that is now going to get down to the basic divine institution of marriage in Colossians 3. It's going to be powerful. I'm not going to handle it the way we normally handle it. I'm going to put it right into the angelic conflict. Okay, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now, to further grasp this, hold your place, but look at Colossians 3:17 that we just studied. Look at Colossians 3:17. Show you that God's plan never changes. He's the same yesterday, today, and tomorrow. He never changes. Colossians 3:17, corrected translation. And all, whatever things, if you do, maybe you will, maybe you won't. You leave here, what you do tomorrow, whatever things, if you do, in word or deed, now deed is repeated, but it's not repeated in the Greek, in the name of the Lord Jesus. That's the good. In the name of the Lord Jesus. So our passage says, trust in the Lord and do good. Colossians 3:17, and all whatever things, if you do, in word or deed, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now let's go back to Psalm 37, verse 3. Trust in the Lord and do good. Now I want to give a quick word on imperatives that will apply to all seven of our challenges. Actually, all eight. Now, this is what it does. First of all, an imperative is used to strongly show two things. Imperative as opposed to what we saw in verses 1 and 2. Verse 1, don't be angry, don't be envious. Those are imperatives. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit changes it to imperatives. Why? First of all, so that we'll know the desire of God. This is God's desire for us in 2019. And secondly, it is up to us. The imperative means it's up to us if we're going to meet these challenges daily in our lives. I'm sorry, Calvinist. Are you Calvinist? God gives everybody free will to decide each day if you're going to trust Him and do good. Whatever things, if you do, do. In the name of the Lord Jesus. It's up to you. How 2019 turns out, it's entirely up to you. It's not going to depend on finance. It's not going to depend on the world. It's going to depend on your attitude toward Jesus Christ. So, the imperative moods that we're going to be looking at, this is God's desire for every one of us in 2019, and it's up to you to do it. That's what the imperative explains. Okay, next, continuing verse 3. Dwell in the land. Cal imperative. By the way, I want to say a word about the cal stem. I thought I had it right here, but it's probably somewhere in here. Cal is very simple. PL is intensive. Hithil is called it, all these other. There's some 26 in the stems it could be. The cal is the simplest. What is that important here? This is the way we ought to live. People, the living the Christ-centered life and the Christ life that centers on Christ is not something dynamic and world-shattering. It can get boring. Day in and day out, the same thing. That's the cal stem. You just keep doing it. You keep doing it. And you keep doing it in the name of the Lord. That's what the cal stem does. So here we have, dwell in the land. Cal imperative of the Hebrew verb meaning just that. To dwell. To settle down. To abide. Now, what about the phrase in the land? Actually, this could be on earth. On earth. Now, this refers to wherever the Lord places you. See? We have no land title in the church age. The nation of Israel is the only nation that has a land title. God has given them a land title to the land in Israel that they've never really experienced the whole boundary line of it. But in the millennium, they will have it. See? They are the only people who guaranteed land from God. It will be fulfilled the second advent when the Lord returns and sets up His millennial kingdom. Now, in the church age, we have a place where we're to dwell in, abide in, a place where to abide. Please turn to John 15 for just a few of the places we abide. I'm not going to cover the full doctrine of abide. Just pick out one strong passage and see what we have here. 15 verse 4. Abide in me and I in you. It's your decision. You abide in Him or not in Him. Look at verse 9. Verse 9. Just as the Father has loved me, I also love you. Abide in my love. That's where we dwell. We dwell in Him. We dwell in His love. See? And while we're here, look at 8, chapter 8, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 15, or sorry, verse 31. Chapter 8, verse 31. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed in Him, if you continue in my word, and that means abide. The word continue is the same word for abide. Abide in my word. Then you are truly disciples of mine. People, it's abiding in His word. Where you dwell. Dwell in Him. Dwell in His love. Dwell in His word. Now these are just a few places that we could put, let's go back to Psalm 37 now, that we could put in for the land. These are places that you and I are to dwell. Just a few of them. You dwell in the Holy Spirit, the filling of the Spirit. You will abide in Him. You will abide in His love. You will abide in His Word. Now, if we abide where we live, something else should happen. This is our fourth challenge. Take a look at it now. Cultivate faithfulness if you're abiding where you should, cultivate faithfulness. It's again a cal imperative of the Hebrew verb meaning to cultivate. And that is a completely familiar word. It means to have, it means to be familiar with, companion with. What are we to cultivate in our lives? What are we to be, just have as an everyday part of our life? Faithfulness. Faithfulness. Faithful to glorifying Christ. Faithful into everything that we do, if we do it in word or deed, do it in the name of Jesus Christ. That's faithfulness. Not just on Sunday. Every day. Every day. See? Now, question. How can we fulfill this imperative? How can we be faithful? Not in the discipline of the flesh. Many Christians are really impressed with the discipline of their flesh. They don't drink, they don't smoke, they go to church, they give, they do this. It's all discipline of their flesh. And they're very impressed with it. Don't be impressed with the discipline of the flesh. I hate to keep doing this, but I want you to see, the introductory remark, this is thousands of years ago. It's applicable today. Look at Galatians 5.22. Galatians 5.22. Now, you should know what that's going to be. That's going to be the fruit of the Spirit. So let's take a look where our faithfulness should come from. Not from discipline of the flesh. Take a look. Galatians 5.22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, oh goodness, and faithfulness. People, the only faithfulness God's impressed with and what this imperative is talking about is the filling of the Holy Spirit. It's faithfulness that comes from the Holy Spirit. So we can easily understand this part of verse 3 is dwell in the Holy Spirit and thereby cultivate faithfulness. See? Abide, dwell in the Holy Spirit, that's the land, and thereby cultivate faithfulness. Now we move to verse 4 of Psalm 37, where we come to our fifth challenge of the new year. Our fifth challenge for 2019. Delight yourself in the Lord. What a beautiful thought. Every day in 2019, have an inner attitude of delight. This time we move from a simple cal imperative to a hithpael. H-I-T-H-P-A-E-L. Imperative. When I was in seminary, I took Hebrew in the first summer, took the whole first year in the summer, had nothing else to think about, nothing else to worry about, do, no other courses. Absolutely love Hebrew. Fell in love with it. It had all of these stems and all of that, but the Greek didn't have that many. The Greek was just torture for me. But Hebrew, I loved. I loved Hebrew. And here we have the hithpael imperative, meaning to make delightful, to receive delight, to receive pleasure. Now, that hithpael carries a reflexive force, meaning you allow yourself to take delight in the Lord and to trust in Him and abide in His Spirit. This is a challenge in our lives. We don't have many people in this church come. But I'll tell you right now, if those of you who come delight in the Word of God, this is fun. Studying God's Word. That's what I want. In the old days, the Jews, they spent their lives studying the Torah. They would argue over it. I'd love to have some taping of it. They would argue and study. It was their life. And there are people in the church age who delight in the study of the Word of God. Delight in learning the Word of God. Delight in the relationship with Christ. The world's going to hell in a handbasket, but we're walking around in delight. How can that be? That's what we're studying right here. See? Delight. So this challenge comes with a result. Take a look at it now. It's the first one we have a result. Delight yourself in the Lord, hit by all imperative, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Whoa! How about that? Now, you have to be careful here. We have a lot of desires from our flesh nature. That's not the desires He's going to give you. See? You're single? Well, I got my eyes on this good-looking gal, or this rich man, or this, that, and this type of thing. Got my eyes on a hot car. Got my eyes on a job. Got my eyes on this and that, this type of thing. See? It's not what we're talking about. You got to be careful here. The desires of your heart, if you're dwelling, living, abiding in the place, the Holy Spirit, if you're delighting in the Lord, the people, you will desire things that He wills you to have. And you will delight in the things that He gives you. See? What is the result then? See? What is dwelling in it and then delighting in what He gives? What does that result in? It's what we've studied Sunday morning. Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving. Colossians 3, 15 and 17. Thanksgiving throughout 2019. Your life, your days should be characterized by thanksgiving. Yeah, but you didn't see the news. You didn't see what happened. You didn't hear this. You didn't... Yes, I did. I'm talking about your relationship with the Lord. What really is going to count in your life. And when you receive the things that cause you to delight, when you delight in the Lord, He gives you the things that will delight you, you give thanks. Thank you for my husband. Thank you for my wife. Thank you for the food. Thank you for this day. Thank you. Now when you reach my age, thank you that I got here safely without a wreck or a ticket. See? Thank you. Those are the kinds of things that age causes you to be thankful of. But He will give you the desires of your heart. Alright, let's go to the verse 5. We come to the sixth challenge for 2019. Commit your way to the Lord. I remember now, about 7:15, 7:30 this morning, I did the other study I was going to do, just that Philippians just wasn't coming. And I just sat there and thought, and prayed, thought. And I said, commit. That's a good thing for a new year. So I got on the Logos and took up commit. And there aren't many passages. But this one popped up and I looked at it and went, yes, this is it. This is our 2019 challenge. And here you have it. Commit your way to the Lord. Cal imperative of the Hebrew word meaning, now what the Hebrew, this is a beautiful concept. The Hebrew word means to roll, as rolling a boat, a big rock. See, that's the ideal of this Hebrew word. And figuratively here is, you roll your commitment to the Lord. That's the picture that the lexicons give this. We saw just yesterday in Colossians, the preeminence of Christ. Well, look what we said, look what we've already seen in our challenges. Trust in the Lord. Delight in the Lord. Now, commit your way to the Lord. People, when you stand, you throw Jesus Christ at the judgment seat of Christ, this is going to be the heart of what He's going to look for. Did you live for me in the power of my Spirit? It isn't going to be so much, did you give, did you do this, did you... No, not the works. Did you do for me? Did you glorify me? I can't emphasize that. If you stand at the judgment seat of Christ, Yeah, but look at all the money I gave. Look at all the hours I put in at this. Look at all the stained glass I gave for the church. Look at this, look at that. On and on and on. No! See? Trust in the Lord. Is that how you lived? Delight in the Lord. Was that your delight? That's what He's going to judge. See? Commit to the Lord. Were you committed to things in life? Or were you committed to Me? See, people, this is going to happen at the judgment seat of Christ. See? Now, since you've already turned there, I won't ask you to turn, even though my notes say turn. But let's just read in your mind Colossians 3:17. And all, whatever things, if you do, in word or deed, do in the name of the Lord. Think about this. Tomorrow, every day, is what I'm getting ready to do, what I'm getting ready to say, is it glorifying to Christ? Is it committed to Him? See, this is the great issue. So, verse 5, commit your way to the Lord, commit your way to the Lord. Now, first of all, let's just look briefly at your way. People, that's that word all in Colossians 3:17. All. And all. Whatever things you do. That word all. That's your way. Every part of your life. Your marriage. Your single life. Your work. Church. Social. Political. Moral. Every part of our life. Every day. All day long. Your way. What you watch on TV. What you eat. What you do. All these things, your way. And they involve the mundane things of life, people. As well as the dynamic things. See? That involves the four things you do every day, day in and day out. Every day, you fix things for your husband, you do things for your wife, you do this, you do that, over and over. See? Commit your way. I'm serving you. In serving the Lord. Or in serving the Lord, I serve you. That's what this ideal is. Every part of your life. See? And all. Whatever things you do, do in the name of the Lord. That's how we're to do things. Now, let's continue in our passage. It says in verse 5, now I didn't put this as another one. Since it's a repeat, I just letting it go with where we've already seen it. Trust in the Lord. Commit your way to the Lord. That means everything you and I do, we commit to Him. Trust in the Lord. See? This is a repeat of the same imperative we had in verse 3. Introducing the first challenge for 2019. Trust in the Lord. Live by faith. And He will do it. Now let's look at our passage now because we have something added to it in our current passage. And verse 5, trust in Him and He will do it. He will do what? Verse 6, He will bring forth your righteousness in the light and your judgment at the noonday. Now this requires an hour just on this. But please remember, He will do it as long as you trust in Him. You don't do this. He does this. Now, what does bring forth your righteousness as light mean? This is part of how we want to live 2019. We should want our righteousness. We should want to put ourselves in a position where He can bring to light our righteousness. What does that mean? Hold your place and let's look at Galatians 5. Galatians 5. Galatians 5, verse 5. It's a rich verse in the New Testament. For we believers only, it's not for any unbeliever, by the Holy Spirit, by means of faith. Now, what we have so far is by faith in the Holy Spirit. Then that word by faith accompanies the following. By faith are waiting for the confidence of righteousness. This is not imputed righteousness. We have that. The moment you believe in Christ, you're imputed with righteousness. That's the positive side of the gospel. See? That's the grace part of the gospel. Remember Sunday morning we saw that the negative side of the gospel is His mercy. That's His mercy. Taking away the negative. Taking away the sins. The positive side of the gospel, He gives us what we don't deserve. Negative side, He takes away what we don't deserve to have taken away. Then He gives to us what we do not deserve, and that's our righteousness. This is talking about righteousness in your life. This is talking about as we live in our lives, in the filling of the Spirit, He calls His righteousness to shine forth. Now let's go back to 37, Psalm 37. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light. Now, this is the only light in Satan's world. That light that comes from the righteous life of believers. Morally, politically, spiritually. See? And then it says in verse 6, and your judgment as the noonday. Alright? Sound judgments are not made in darkness, but in light, so that all can see. Christ said, love one another as I have loved, by this all will know. How will they know? They watch and they see how love acts. They will watch and see our righteousness. Noonday, not hidden. Now we come to the seventh challenge. The seventh challenge. And I think here's where I'm going to break, because this is kind of going to break into where we're going to go next. So we'll break here, have a few moments of fellowship, and eat, chow down, and then we'll come back and resume our study, and we'll close with communion service. Close 2018 and introduce 2019, partaking of the communion service. And I'm going to assume that all you did was eat. No problem as far as the filling of the Spirit there. And no filling of the spirits either. So we can move right back into our study. Let's begin with a reading of Psalm 37. Now here's the deal. This would be easy to remember throughout the whole year, because seven of our eight challenges are right here, just listed for you. And the other one, the last one, we'll cover in a moment. But let's read to where we left off before we took our break. Verse 3, trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land or on earth and thereby cultivate faithfulness. Delight yourself in the Lord and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness in the light of your judgment as the noonday. Now, just to add that here, verse 3, trust in the Lord and do, dwell, cultivate, delight, commit, trust, and now we resume the close of it with our seventh and final challenge for 2019 in this passage. Verse 7. Rest in the Lord. People, this is superb. This is the dynamics of the faith rest life. This is the cow imperative of a Hebrew verb, and you're going to know what it means. It means to be silent. That's right out of the lexicon. To be still, to be silent, to refrain from you taking action. It denotes the absence of stirred emotions, the absence of stress, anxiety, depression in your life. Now, this is going to be difficult. If everybody is right, or even if half of them are right, 2019 holds the ability to be one of the most trying years in the angelic conflict. Things that are going on in Washington, D.C. The Democrats have vowed they will spend the entire year to impeach the president. Not work for America, not do things for America, but just to get rid of Trump. That's the objective. To get rid of his rebuilding America. That's what they've got to get rid of. Things in the Middle East, people. Right now, President Trump is scheduled, I understand, to announce an historic peace treaty in the Middle East. It will make Egypt and Saudi Arabia happy in some respects, unhappy in others. It will make Israel happy in some respects, unhappy in others. Some scholars, some Bible scholars, who in my opinion a little messed up on their chronology, but they're saying this is the treaty that starts the tribulation. And I don't know. I don't think so, but be that as it may, that's the big, how big this treaty is going to be. That it would cause some Bible scholars to assume this may be the beginning of the tribulation. But be that as it may, he is scheduled to announce this. So in the Middle East, things are just so tense. Saudi Arabia and Egypt are already working with Israel, of all things. The Palestinians and the Muslims are going crazy. They hate Israel. So this is a very volatile thing. Things are exploding in Europe, as you well know, and in China. It just so happened, I was in the filling station this week, and a policeman came out to his car, and I walked over and I said, "Thank you for your service to our community." And he turned around and came back, "What branch of service were you in?" And I said, "Well, how do you know I was even in it?" He said, you reap with it. And we started talking about it. And he was telling me, and it seemed to be informative, of the type of training. I was saying, but China has an unbelievable military force. He said, "Herman," that's what we changed names, "not one of their soldiers is trained with live rounds. Not one. They're not trained. They're trained to be communists. They're trained to hate the world, but they're not trained to be soldiers." And he said, so they would just put them up and get them killed running through the mill. And so we had a really wonderful talk. But 2019 will be a year characterized by unrest. If you think things are immoral in the United States today, wait until the Democrats, who have no morality, take control of the House. Immorality among our youth will continue to expand. And when I talk about immorality, I'm talking about the government owes me money. The government owes to take care of me. That's immoral. And then you go to the other part, but we desire you to take care of us, but we live however we wish. An abomination. There's going to be great unrest in 2019 morally in this country and in the world. The breakdown, a divine institution marriage, which you and I already have seen, with the breakdown and with the intersexual marriages, the divine institution of the family going to be continue to break down, and divine institution of nationalism is being attacked by globalization. It's going to be a very trying year. The media of this country praise immorality. Politicians encourage immorality. Are you surprised? Turn to Romans chapter 1. Don't be surprised. You already know it. Romans chapter 1. Let's read 28 through 32. 28. And just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, God gave them over to a depraved mind to do those things which are not proper, being filled with all unrighteousness. And what we just see? Your righteousness will shine in a world where there is unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. They are gossips, slanderers, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil. They're going to come up with some new ones. Disobedient to parents, without understanding, untrustworthy, unloving, unmerciful. And although they know the ordinance of God, that those who practice such things are worthy of death, they know that. They not only do the same, but also give hearty approval to those who practice them. So this is what we have to look forward to in 2019. Question. Will you be at rest in an unrest world in 2019? Or will you be a nervous wreck? Will you get all upset with what's going on television? What's going on in America? What's going on in the Middle East? What's going on in your neighborhood? What's going on all over the place? Or will you have that ability to just be at rest? That's a challenge for 2019. Be at rest. Our seventh challenge, which I've combined with two imperatives, look at verse 7 of chapter 37. The seventh challenge, I've combined two imperatives. Rest in the Lord. That means to be silent. Let your faith rest life. Rest. Don't get all excited. Wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. That means put your confidence in Him. Not in the government. Not in society. Not in political leaders, not in the media, not in school, but in the Lord. That's where your confidence is. Not in the judicial system. Not in the judicial system that will break down. Not in the educational system. Not in man. But you rest in the Lord. Put your confidence in Him. He's in control. Nothing surprises Him. He has everything under control. If it does get that bad in 2019, where there's unrest, let me give you something you can think about to help you. In the midst of 1942 to 44, and all of the concentration camps, the burning, 6 million Jews, God knew what He was doing. It would have been very difficult to be at rest. But He knew what He was doing. Most of those Jews would never have gone to Israel. I'm a German Jew. I'm a Polish Jew. I'm this country's Jew. Stay here, I'm happy. They couldn't wait to get out and get to Israel. Wasn't even a nation. They had to get there. They had to go somewhere. I give you that for this reason. No matter what happens in 2019, you just be at rest in your soul. your God's in control. He hasn't lost control. I cannot help but imagine if I'd have been a Jew in 1943 and knew what was going on, I would be angry at God. He's lost it. He doesn't care about us anymore. I don't want that to happen to you. No matter what happens in 2019, be at rest. Be at peace. Be confident in the Lord that He's in control. He knows what He's doing. Then it says, second part of the imperative, wait patiently for Him. Rest in the Lord. Wait patiently for Him. This is a hiphael imperative of the Hebrew word, which means waiting patiently, waiting expectantly, waiting confidently. Let me repeat those. It means waiting patiently. Don't get all upset. Don't go out there and start doing something. Waiting expectantly. People, how are we supposed to live? Look, He's coming. That's how we're to live. He could come tonight. He could come right now. Expect it. Waiting confidently. I don't like what's happening in America. I don't like what's happening in Texas. But I'm confident that all things are going to work according to His plan and His timing. So be at peace. Have that faith rest life. Wait with confidence in the Lord that all things are going to come together for His plan. Setting up for what? The rapture of the church. The great snatch. Getting us out of here. And then the battle of Armageddon. And the Lord will come and set up His kingdom. Be at peace. Be at rest. Even now, you watch TV enough, Christians are losing it. The liberals are winning. The communists are winning. The Muslims are winning. The socialists are winning. And indeed they are. The world is falling apart. In my day, way back in the 50s, it was the sky is falling syndrome. See? The sky is falling. And that's never been more true. Probably never been more true than in 2019. But people were to remain silent in the faith rest life, waiting expectantly for Him to come and do something. It's kind of like the Habakkuk passage. How long? How long before you do something? Then it ends, verse 7, do not fret because of him who prospers in his way, because of the man who carries out wicked schemes. Could this be talking about the dictator of the revived Roman Empire, the Antichrist? Politicians, judges, school administrators, people in your own personal lives. It could be a very hectic year. Rest in the Lord. Be still. Be silent. Let your righteousness shine. Say, rest in the Lord. Let's turn to Hebrews chapter 4. What does it mean to rest in the Lord? Hebrews chapter 4. Verse 1. Therefore, let us fear if, while a promise remain of entering His race, His rest. Now don't fear what's happening in the society. Don't fear what's going on. Don't fear the breakdown of marriage, family, nations, all of these things. But I tell you what you want to fear. Fear letting a promise go unclaimed. That's what you want to fear. Therefore, let us fear that if, while a promise remains, entering His rest. So if you're not restful, something's missing in your soul. You're not grabbing the total plan of God. Any one of you may seem to have come short of it. For indeed, verse 2, for indeed, we have good news preached to us, as unbelievers and believers, just as they also in the Old Testament. But the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. People, all I can give you tonight is Psalm 37. So let's close by looking at that. Psalm 37. Here's how you can read, no matter what happens in 2019. Right here. One psalm. Start reading at verse 3. Trust in the Lord. It begins with faith. Do good. Dwell, abide in the earth and the land and the things we have. And cultivate faithfulness to God. Faithfulness to your life of rest. Delight yourself in the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. Commit your way to the Lord. Trust also in Him, and He will do it. He will bring forth your righteousness as the light, and your judgment as the noonday. Rest in the Lord, and wait patiently for Him. So here you have it. Trust, do, dwell, cultivate, delight, commit, trust again, rest, and wait. There's your challenge for 2019. No matter what it brings. What it brings in the world, what it brings in your own life. I hate to say it, but things are going to happen right here, even in this very small assembly. Some of your homes, some of your marriages, some of your finances, your health, just different things. It's not just talking about on the national level, personal level, financial, all these things. Rest in the Lord. He's in control. Do you believe that or not? And I pray that you will experience this rest, this faith rest, throughout all of 2019. Please remember this psalm when sad starts to set in, when you start becoming nervous with all that's going on. Now, in closing, well, what are we to do with all this evil that's going on, the turmoil going on in our life, in the world, in our nation, in our state, in our community? What are we supposed to do while we're at rest? Turn on the TV? Watch TV? Now, in closing, let's come to our eighth imperative, 2 Peter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, and we're just going to note it. So add it to trust, dwelling, delighting, committing, and rest. Let's add this one. 2 Peter 3:17. Let's begin at 3:17. That begins the sentence. Sets up the environment for 3:18. You, every one of you here tonight, every one of you listening, therefore, beloved, remember, Colossians 3, that's who you are in Christ, knowing, and you have no excuse now, you've been taught this beforehand, be on your guard, so that, why do you want to be on your guard? So that you are not carried away by the era of unprincipled men, political leaders, religious leaders, media, evil morality, immorality, and fall so that you're not carried away by the era of unprincipled men and fall from your own steadfastness. That's your rest in the Lord. Now verse 18. But this is what you want to be doing. Grow. Present tense means daily in your life in 2019. Active voice, this is something you have to make a decision to do throughout your life. In the imperative mood, this is God's will for you, but it's up to you to do it. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. To Him be the glory, both now and to the day of eternity. be it so. This is how you can maintain that rest. You keep growing in the Word. If this is church, fine, but if you find a church where the Word of God is taught diligently, truthfully, faithfully, and you faithfully are there, grow in the knowledge of Jesus Christ. Never too old to continue to grow in the knowledge of Christ. This is how you can maintain rest in an unrestful world. Okay? That's our challenge. Now let's close. It'll close out 2018. Bring in 2019 with communion service. And I've asked our two young shepherds, Chris Dake, Phil McMillan, to pass the elements out. And so, y'all get ready to pass them out. Bread represents God becoming man, Jesus Christ, in the incarnation, that he could die on the cross, taking away. Here's the mercy. The mercy is the removal of the negative. See, we deserve punishment for our sins. He removed them. And then the positive is the imputation of righteousness. That's the grace of God. We don't already deserve it, but we got it. We get it at the point of faith. So, we close out this year thinking about Jesus Christ, thinking about our relationship with Him, that we're in the Beloved, that we're in Him. See? That's what we're doing. Kind of orienting. Okay, this is who I am. This is where I am. This is the one ritual God gave. Christ gave the church. Do this in remembrance of me. Your thought right now is totally on Jesus Christ, your relationship with Him. It may be when you accepted Him as Savior, when you believed in Him. It may be when you started growing in the knowledge of Him. Whatever part it is, remember me. Do this in remembrance of me. Now it's our custom, as you know, to pass the bread. Everyone hold the bread until everyone has been served, that we might take communion with Him, taking communion together. Paul writes in 1 Corinthians 11, "For I have received from the Lord personally that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus in the night in which He was betrayed took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it," symbolizing work on a cross, "and said, 'This is my body which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.'" It is our custom that everyone hold the cup until everyone has been served, take communion together as we take it with Him. In the same way, He took the cup also after supper. The Passover is over. saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. Let's close with opening your hymnals to hymn number 430. Hymn number 430. We're going to close tonight with two songs, one spiritual, one just traditional. Praise you for the God that you are. A God that in the midst of turmoil and unrest, you have made it possible for us to rest in your Son, the power of your Spirit, and the energy of your Word. We praise you, Father. We thank you for 2018, and we already thank you for 2019. Whatever it holds, that we may glorify you and glorify your Son. In his precious name we pray. Amen. Okay, now.